Well, hello, dee dooty, kids. And what time is it, kids?
Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Well, we're going into extra innings, folks. Yes, we are, indeed. We're going a little longer than usual today, and for good reason. Yeah. We're doing overtime, aren't we, Bobby, right now?
Oh, yeah.
Two more hours to go of the All Requests and Dedication program. Thank you so much. We're stretching it out today for obvious reasons. This will be our last show here, we think, for a while. Certainly where the station is going off the air tomorrow night at midnight. But then there are hopes and prayers and all kinds of good people working on getting us back up somewhere, somehow, someplace. So that's our goal. And we'll keep you posted via the Wolf Brewing Company's Facebook page. That'll be our community bulletin board. We'll post for you anything that might be of importance and of interest to you as to the future of this enterprise and the rest. So we'll keep fingers crossed and hope for the best. We're not foolish optimists, are we? But we are optimists, that's for sure. So, Bobby J., Bobby, you're going into your third hour there, kind of like starring in the Ed Sullivan Show. You're a one-man variety act in there. You better get Chris Hayes in there to give you a little relief there.
I've only broken one plate.
you're doing a remarkable job, but don't burn yourself out today, okay? Yeah. So Chris is here. He can come in and spell you for a little bit. But we're going to get moving here. We want to let you know that you are more than welcome, as always, to send us your song requests, your dedications, and your comments about Club 1220 KLB, about the show, whatever moves you. 651. We've got a crowd here in the studio. It's wonderful. It really gives us a super lift. 651-275-1220. And then we have email request at klbbradio.com. And you know the rest of the deal, the drill. Facebook and Twitter, too. Take your choice. Pick whichever means you want and come in and join us here. Hour number three. Boy, we've never said that before. It's 204. We have 40 degrees in the Twin Cities. And Bobby, let's dip into the 1960s Minnesota rock and roll playbook, should we, huh?
That's what we should do.
Let's call in these great guys from, they were from Mankato back in the day, and boy, do they have a big hit with this one. Yep, by request from any 1,000 of you out there. That's a much-requested song over the years, and it's got bragging rights for those folks in Mankato, Minnesota. The gestures, the pride of that southern Minnesota town. A big hit, Run, 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 back in the day. What day? I'll tell you. We could have no better source for that information than our friend Rick Shefchik, who is in the studio. Rick, thanks for coming down. The author of Everybody's Heard About the Bird. Ah, the story of Minnesota rock groups back in the 60s.
Stan, I got to tell you, you must have sold more books for me than any three other sources.
What's the commission, Rick? Do we have any
idea? Talk about that after the show.
Rick, it is a marvelous book. This is as much a book about music in Minnesota as about the social and cultural landscape. This is about sociology. This tells us how we were, the way we were. It really does.
Well, that song in particular takes me right back to the...
Tell us about it. Run, Run, Run by the Gestures.
By the Gestures, okay. Who were initially going to be the Jesters until they found out that there were at least two other groups that were already recording
maybe
by that
10.
Name. So at the very last minute, they had to come up with a label change because they'd even started to print the labels with the Gestures on it. And they thought, what are we going to do? So they threw out all kinds of wild names. And finally, Dale Menton, the leader of the group, thought Gestures was so close to Gestures that it wouldn't be that difficult. Mm-hmm. But Gus Dewey, the guitar player, thought, well, Gestures... Wouldn't somebody think that might mean an obscene gesture?
The middle finger?
Huh? Well, that's what he was afraid of, but apparently nobody took it that way.
Became a big hub. How big of a hit was it?
Well, it was number one on both KDWB and WDGY in the fall of 64, and it just missed the top 40 nationally.
But
it was one of three records that did break out of the Twin Cities and make the national charts.
Who was doing the guitar picking on that one? Do you remember?
That was Dale Menton.
Oh, what a... Oh. He was as good as anything out there then, wasn't he?
You know, to this day, Dale is one of the most talented musicians. You'll still occasionally hear something that he's produced, something he's written, something he's sung. He's been in... commercial production for, you know, 30, 40 years. Yeah, you know, yeah. So yeah, he was unbelievable. He taught himself how to play guitar.
That's amazing.
He wrote just about every song that the Gestures recorded. Yeah. He was one of those guys that had already seen the future and said, well, you know, it's not enough to sort of cover old rock and roll songs. We've got to come up with our own material.
There were the Castaways. Give us some of the names of some of the other groups going then.
Oh, sure. Well, the Castaways with Liar Liar, the Underbeats.
Gregory D. and the Avantes.
Gregory D. and the Avantes, the Accents. The Underbeats, Gregory D., and the Accents were called the Big Three.
The Big Three.
And
the Trashmen came along.
Well, the Trashmen preceded the Big Three, but they opened the door for everybody else because there'd never been a hit record out of the Twin Cities until Surfin' Bird. And that just went crazy in the fall of 1963. So then by 64, both KDWB and WDGY were willing to play local records. And it was actually a competition to see how many of them they could get on because they knew the kids were listening.
Now, I'll tell you, I worked, my first job was at KDWB. I was a journalism student at the University of Minnesota. I worked in the newsroom, I'll have you know. I couldn't get over on the other side of the glass. But I was interested and still am. Of course, like you, you're a news guy too.
Yep.
But I had this window on the rock era, you know, about 65, 66, and it was absolutely a golden time to be there. These were very talented disc jockeys and talented groups, too, and it was just wonderful. And I'll tell you a little, I don't know if you knew this in the research, and forgive me if I forgot, because your book is a Bible to the show and to untold thousands out there who have bought it about the rock scene here in the 60s. But WDGY, to get more songs in an hour, goosed up the speed of their turntables. I'm serious. So they could get more in. You knew it's probably in your book.
Yeah. It is not in the book because I don't think you could find anybody who would actually confirm that but it was certainly understood.
Our program director, the late Sam Sherwood at KD, told us that it was definitely, he had it from a disc jockey he hired from DGY who said, yeah, we amped up the turntables. they'd move faster so we could get more songs in. Those are the lengths to which they went back then. Amazing, amazing. So here we are. Yeah, Bobby, go ahead. Oh, the phone. Yeah, oh, the phone. I forgot about the phone. Oh, boy, 210 right now on the clock, 40 degrees in the Twin Cities. The phone is the hottest thing going around the Twin Cities right now. Thanks for calling in. Who's there, please?
Don, standing out of St. Paul.
Don out of St. Paul. See, St. Paul. Minneapolis is a suburb of St. Paul, isn't it? Did I have that right?
Okay.
Don, what you got today? What's going on?
Don was our last requester, too, by the way.
Okay, thank you. Don called with, Rick Shefchik is here. So Don is the guy who requested Run, 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 and he's a big fan of your book and of that music.
Don, you've got great taste, and I'm talking about both as a reader and as...
KLBB looking for a heat wave by the Hot Half Dozen. They didn't know about it until they confirmed it was you.
See?
And you gave them the record to play it.
Yeah. So that book is the Bible. If you want to know about the rock scene here in the 1960s and Kevin McKeever, you got to get that book if you don't have it already. Everybody's Heard About the Bird by this guy right here, Rick Shefchik. It is the go-to book, and it is just full of great, not only facts, but great stories, too. Isn't that wonderful? The story about
Stan.
Yes, go ahead, Don.
I got a real quick one here.
Okay.
I was about 10 years old, and you were working Channel 5 News, and you were in the car.
I was 10 years old, yeah.
I was and I came by, and I said, Stan, and he said, hello, and you're very polite, and I said, Stan, I got to prove to my friends I've seen you. He says, could you, like, straighten out your tire or put your hand through your hair? He said, I can't do that, Don, and the station won't. I said, I got to tell them they're not going to believe me. So that was the first time I watched the whole news.
Okay.
First time. It never happened, but... No regrets. I'm glad I met you, though.
All right. I'm glad we met you, too, Don. Stay with us. Stay in the queue because we hope to be back sometime, okay? Thanks a lot. Okay. That's it. Don in St. Paul, huh? Great. Well, Bobby is 1210 right now, and we've got so many, a backlog, no kidding, of requests. And one, Rick, you can help us with this. A request for an old Bing Crosby song, Brother, Can You Spare a Dime? This sounds like Depression era. You know. Well, it is. It actually comes from that period. But our requesters, tell us who that is.
Yeah, well, we'll call him Dan from Hopkins.
Dan from Hopkins, that's right.
Dan is actually an old friend of mine, terrific editor, and I understand that he actually gave you a compliment on your proper pronunciation of a word the other day.
He did, as I said on the air, once every month or so I get something right. So, Dan, thank you for that. And we didn't get to your song, but go ahead and tell us about the song.
Well, Dan has asked us to play a Bing Crosby song, Brother, Can You Spare a Dime? It's also known as Buddy, Can You Spare a Dime? Written in the early 30s, the lyric was by... Yip
Harburg.
Harburg,
yeah.
Right.
He worked with Harold Arlen quite a bit.
Yes.
They did Over the Rainbow together.
He's got a long, long laundry list of great lyrics that he wrote, and but this was one where the nation was obviously sinking into despair. Mm-hmm. But the song was not intended to be
a downer
yeah. so much as it was kind of a sarcastic look at, you know, where's our economy gone here? Why is it that all the people that that sacrificed so much and contributed so much to help build what we had in this country, why all of a sudden are they in a breadline? And so that was sort of the it was more, I think, angry than sad.
Angry than sad. That's an interesting take around. Thank you for setting that up, Rick Jefchik. Let's play the song right here. This is for Dan and Hopkins.
They used to tell me I was building a dream.
There you have a vintage piece of music from echoing the Great Depression, the not-so-great depression that swept this country, starting with the big market crash in 1929. Bing Crosby and Rick Shefchik, that really resonates. There were true stories, actually, of old man Rockefeller, the founding father of the Rockefeller Empire, walking around golf courses during the Depression, handing out dimes to people. Hmm? There's something just a little bit demeaning about that in a way, don't you think?
Well, it kind of reminds me of Montgomery Burns on the Simpsons. Here's Sonny, have a nice shiny dime.
Oh, a nice shiny dime for you now, then, you little creatures, you.
Exactly,
yes.
You
the,
urchins.
The poor will always be with us, won't they?
And they'll always love me.
They will, indeed. Yes, they will, Mr. Rockefeller. Well, that's for Dan, our friend in Hopkins, who is a fine, you know, the great unsung heroes of newspapers and publishing houses are the editors. These are the people who take copy from reporters like you and can be very fine writers like you, but sometimes they'll catch a little something or, you know, it'll go back to you and say, I'm not quite sure I know what you mean by this. And they will, you know, grammar and spelling and clarity, brevity, all of that stuff. And they write the headlines too, don't they?
Yeah. And I want to say it is really one of the great tragedies of what's going on in journalism today is that the editors, copy editors, headline writers seem to be the ones who are getting laid off at a faster rate.
That is a crime.
It is.
I mean that. It's a journalistic crime. It's a crime for all of us because it does impact all of us. Oh, man. We've got, if you hear any background chatter, that's okay because we call that ambient sound in the business here. The studios are full of wonderful people today. They're meeting and gathering, laughing and having a good time. We just heard that song from Depression Era USA. We're keeping the depression at bay here today, Rick. We're accenting the positive, the hope that maybe something good can come. And you've been a huge supporter of this station and of this program. And we thank you, thank you, thank you, in great volume.
I've gotten more from you than you ever got from me.
Well, I'm not sure about that, brother, but we cherish your friendship, and
I
know you share in the dream that we have that some way, somehow, we can keep this enterprise happening. Okay,
definitely.
Bobby, how you doing in there? Kevin from Lakeville via the Bronx. No, that's fine. Thanks for the. I haven't even had a chance to eat the food you brought in today. The Bronx style coleslaw. Is that right?
That's right.
Huh? Yeah. What's the name of the deli out there that you go to?
Well, I owned a couple of delis.
Oh, did you? You were a deli guy.
Okay. Jan Patton. The other was Archer Street Deli.
Okay.
Very unique.
Very indeed. Well, thank you. If I have time in the next 10 hours, I'll eat something. I can't wait. Thank
Enjoy
you.
Enjoy it.
All right.
Enjoy them, please.
Thanks, Kev. Rick Shefchik's with us here. And, I'll tell you what. There was a great line about Elvis. Many great lines have been written about Elvis. I think Peter Guralnick has written maybe the definitive two-volume biography of Elvis. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure. I think it's in there. But somebody once said when they saw this new, handsome, talented, mysterious, some people thought, wacko guy, how could one guy be so polite, sound so polite, and look so dangerous? It was true. He got on the Sullivan Show, Elvis did, about 1956, his first appearance. Let's see, Scotty Moore, he played that great big Gibson guitar, was it? The guitar was as big as Scotty.
Yeah.
Scotty, I think, might have been self-taught, too. I think he worked at a dry cleaner's during the day in Memphis there. DJ Fontana was
on the drums, and Bill Black on the bass.
Bill Black on the stand-up bass, too, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yep.
And then on the Sullivan Show, there were some backup singers for some other numbers. But Elvis is the only one not wearing a bow tie. he was dressing down for the occasion.
Shows
the
how rebel. Dangerous
yeah,
he
right.
was.
But he did something. Well, we're going to play it right here. And this just tore down the house. I don't think Sullivan knew what was happening. The audience went wild, and 60 million people were watching on television. It may stand as one of the biggest television viewing audiences ever. And Elvis, when he opened his mouth, it went like this. That's it. That is truly, you know, the word unique is misused. Unique means one of a kind. Mm-hmm. There's nothing else like it. When you talk about Elvis Presley, Rick Shefchik, that guy as a performer, there's never been and never will be another person like that.
No, you know, they talk about the influences that he had, and you can hear, you know, some Dean Martin, because he always said he loved Dean Martin.
And the Mills Brothers, one of the Mills Brothers.
And you can certainly hear, you know, a little bit of the Drifters and sure. Jackie Ward, some of these other R&B.
Bill Kenny, the lead singer of the Ink Spots, was an inspiration to him, too. Elvis was reaching way back.
Right. But once he gets into Full Sail on a record like that, nobody had ever sounded like that before. He invented that basically on the fly.
When he walked into Sun Records as a virtual unknown, just a kid, I think he parked his electric delivery truck out front. He was working for an electrical company. Walked in. What was her name? Marion Kreitzer. Or she was the front office lady at Sun Records for Sam Phillips. And she said, "Oh, okay, I'll tell you. You want to do a recording here? Oh, well, I guess we could do that. What's your name?" He said, "Elvis. What, Elvis Presley. What do you do?" He says, "What do you sound like?" He said, "I don't sound like nobody. I don't sound like nobody." The grammar may not be too great, but you know. You know, poor kid from Tupelo, Mississippi, bam. Just put him in the studio and let him go, and that's what you get. Fantastic.
And then you talk about inimitable sounds, Scotty Moore's guitar.
Oh, tell us about that.
Well, I don't really know how to describe it, except it almost sounds like somebody's, you know, shredding some sheet metal in there or something.
Right.
I can't think of another guitarist who ever was able to recapture that sharp attack that he got on the strings.
He did that. To look at him, well, he was, a dry cleaner employee, as I said, in Memphis, and these guys were just kind of a throw-together group. You know, they went down to the Sun Records, where you and I could have gone in there. Of course, we wouldn't have made our mark there, that's right. For sure. But they did, and then Bobby, and these guys were distinctive performers. I don't think they even knew it, did they? They didn't know it. They would just say, there's a guy over there who plays stand-up bass, there's a guy over there who plays drums and piano, and we'll go in and cut a track or two, and that was about it.
And they were put together with Elvis. I mean, he kind of came across these guys, and they didn't know they were going to fit together.
Right.
They didn't even know what they were going to end up doing.
And it wasn't working at first, either. Their first recordings were terrible. It just didn't happen. And one day, Elvis is in there just kind of fooling around, and he breaks into that old
That's
song.
All Right, Mama.
That's All Right, Mama. And Sam Phillips sitting there, what did you do, kid? What was that? Do that again.
Yeah. Now we got something.
Bobby.
Well, I can't let Rick get away without letting him hear a Milton Berle story about Elvis.
Have you heard this one?
Let me hear it.
This is amazing.
Here we go.
I just heard from Colonel Parker. He wants you to audition somebody. I said, who? He said, well, I don't know. It's some young fellow. He's down south. Elvis something. I said, Elvis, that's his name? Elvis? Yeah. Well, I took the rehearsal studio again, and I auditioned him. And he's jiving, and he's shaking, and he's wiggling, and he's wriggling, he's doing his style. And I said, hey, he's handsome, he's good-looking, and he's got a different sound and all that. So I booked him on a show. And I remember who's on the show, Harry James, Buddy Hackett, Joe Williams was singing, and Buddy Rich was at the drums, and Esther Williams. And the excited attraction was Elvis Presley. Nobody knew who the hell he was. And he walked in very bashful and good-looking, very cute, and he just handed Harry James for the rehearsal one sheet of music, a sheet. He said, well, where's the orchestration? He says, this is it. I played a guitar. Oh. He goes on. 10 days later, I got about 400,000 pan letters. Not fan letters. Pan letters and blaming me. We'll never watch you again, Uncle Milty, when you put that vulgar man that jives and wiggles his backside and his butt. It's disgusting. I got a 500,000 blaming me about Presley. I got on the phone, and I called Colonel Parker. I said, I have in front of me here in the office, hundreds of thousands of letters. Oh, he's about Elvis? I said, yeah, but they're all pan letters. They're not, what do you mean pan letters? I said, all I called you up is to this, to tell you this, Colonel, you have a star on your hands. When you get a 500,000 letters on somebody that must be on everybody's mind and everybody's tongue, you know you got a star. So that's what and this is before he went on the Sullivan Show and Sullivan put the screen in front of him so he wouldn't let the audience see him wiggle. That's the truth about Presley.
Pan letters. 400,000, 500,000 of them, Rick. How about that?
I'm sure you've never gotten one of those.
Pan letters. You have a few thousand, maybe. No. Isn't that so remarkable? Colonel Parker, if you don't know, that was Elvis's manager and tormentor and raker of profits off the top.
Yeah. Probably the worst thing that ever happened to Elvis.
Absolutely.
Meeting Colonel Parker.
Yeah, that's right. I think Colonel Parker may have made more money off Elvis than Elvis made off of Elvis.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
Yeah, I think Priscilla Presley says that quite a lot.
Yeah, and it's true. Mm-hmm. It's true. But Burl knew his stuff, didn't he? Oh. Burl knew a hit when he saw one. Yeah.
Well, you know, Colonel Parker came from a carnival background.
Yeah, he's a clown. Yeah. Not a funny one.
Whereas Milton Berle came from show business, and he knew what he was talking about.
He knew what he was talking about. Absolutely right. He did. He did. Well, here we are, 1228. Bobby, what's next in the queue?
Let's take a break.
Okay, let's do that. Take a breather. Back in a minute.
More people are tuning in to the All Request Show every day.
You know, after listening to you, for the first time in 10 years, my job seems almost legitimate.
Listen weekdays, noon to 2 on KLBB.
Come on, you know you want to. Call Stan Turner and get your request or dedication on the air. Call 651-275-1220. The Wolf Brewing All Request and Dedication Show on KLBB.
There's one of those Marx Brothers again, huh? Was that Carl or Groucho? Yeah. I'm not sure which. Groucho's been on our backs ever since we began the show.
I think you're right, yeah.
I think that's his way of saying he loves us.
Huh? Right.
So does Howard Cosell and Casey Kasem.
Right.
You know, they tend to lose their temper on the show. We hear them from time to time,
right,
don't we?
Boy.
Thanks for bleeping that stuff out, Bobby. Yeah, we would have lost our license a long time ago with that. Well, we were talking. We got Rick Shefchik. Boy, I'll tell you, this is hour three, and I'm showing it already, aren't I? My mouth is willing, but I'm not sure if the lips are. Rick, we heard Elvis doing Ready Teddy, an early smash hit of his, and all the great sidemen he had going. Boy, for what, four guys, they could make a lot of great noise. And that guitar player, Scotty Moore, was unbelievable. As you say, we haven't heard his likes since, have we?
Right.
Nobody plays guitar just like that. The woods are full of guitar players, of guitar slingers, but nobody like that. We've got a guy who's been living in our area here for a long time. He's from the East Coast, Brian Setzer. Stray Cats, that ring a bell, huh? What about his playing, his guitar playing, and vis-a-vis Scotty Moore?
Well, when the Stray Cats first came out, they were a clear throwback rockabilly kind of a group, and nobody was really playing that kind of stuff. This was like early 80s, I think, and that had been off the air forever.
Yeah.
And it seems so fresh once again when a real talented guitar player starts playing those kinds of riffs that we haven't heard in such a long time. And it was real obvious who his influences were. Gene Vincent, for sure.
Sure.
But Scotty Moore, there's no question that he was listening to a lot of Scotty Moore stuff.
You hear echoes of Elvis's great guitar player on this. This was a big hit, Stray Cats, back in the 80s. Brian Setzer wailing away on the guitar. I think I broke a sweat on that one, ladies and gentlemen. If you live out in the western Twin Cities suburbs, that guy out front there singing and playing the guitar might be a neighbor of yours. Brian Setzer lives in this area. I think he's from the East Coast, but he married a Minnesota girl. They've been living in this area for some time. Of course, he's on tour all the time, too. Rick Shefchik, tell us about that song. That was a top 10 hitter for the Stray Cats, Brian Setzer and the Stray Cats, 1982. And boy, there's a lot going on in that song.
Yeah, there really is. I was thinking if you were going to try to dance to that song from start to finish, that might be your evening.
Resuscitation, right? So you're thinking there are two basses in there, maybe a stand-up bass, a slap bass, and a
You get that echo effect on the bass notes, and I'm assuming because it was recorded in 1982, there probably was also an electric bass, but you really can't duplicate that slapback bass sound unless you've got a stand-up bass.
They were reaching back for that 50s sound, and they got it.
They nailed it.
Huh? And how about that picking? Boy, Brian Setzer, what a genius he is. He's fronting the Brian Setzer Orchestra now. He's doing old orchestrations from the 30s and 40s. Big band stuff.
Good, so you don't have to dance that fast all night.
Right. Ladies and gentlemen, slow dance, okay? Ladies' choice. All right, we got the phone call, do we, Bobby? Yeah, it's 12:37 right now, 40 degrees, and we're so lucky to have so many of you calling in today. May I ask who's on the line right now? Thank you for calling. Who's there?
Yes, this is Lisa, and I wanted to thank you for being on the air all these years. What an honor to talk to you, by the way. Wow.
It's an honor to talk to you, too, Lisa. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, just being a mom at home with kids and stuff, it was just so nice to have somebody locally to listen to on the radio. And I grew up with my parents listening to this station, and so it's just it'll be sad not to have it. But it was just it's been awesome having you guys.
Thank you. It's nice to know that this is kind of a generational thing too. That the station is being handed down to the next generation. I don't want to beat this horse too often, but we are, as you know, Lisa. You probably have heard we're working real hard to find some way to keep the ball rolling down the road a little bit. We hope the road is not too long, but a lot of good people who feel as you do, and thank you again, sweetheart, and thanks to your parents, too. A lot of good people want to see this thing go on, this radio station and this particular program. And your words lift us so high, I'll tell you.
It just means
all the difference in the world, Lisa. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
We are your friend. We are part of the family. Okay, all of us?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. My son wants to say hi quick.
Okay, hi.
Hi.
Hi, what's your name?
What's your name?
Preston. What is it?
Preston.
Okay, thank you. Hope you listen to our show a few times, and we sure like having, we like demographics, we call them, right across the spectrum. And how old are you?
He wants to know how old you are, honey. How old are you? Six.
Boy, oh boy, we have old listeners, don't we? Yeah, that's terrific.
He was obviously named after Johnny Preston.
Johnny Preston, feels so fine. Yeah, right, Running Bear, right, all that. Great. Thank you, Lisa, and thank you to your little guy there. That's so fun.
Yes, thank you.
Bless you. Man. Hope to talk again, dear. Bye-bye.
Yes.
Okay. Lovely. Oh, Bobby. I don't know, brother. We're feeling the love times 100, aren't we?
Preston might have been the youngest listener we've had on the air.
I think so, with the exception of Rick Shevchik. I think he might be five and a half.
But I'm a mature 5.5.
Yeah, you are. Rick, we're so pleased in a way that if this had to happen, it happened today. Otherwise, you'd be on a golf course somewhere, and we couldn't reach you.
I wish it was nice enough to play
golf
somewhere.
You are Mr. Golf, aren't you?
Well, if...
It's great.
If I'm not forcing myself to sit down and write another book, I'm out playing golf.
You are writing another book.
I am writing another book.
I suppose you can't say anything about it. One you've written besides your book, Everybody's Heard About the Bird, is a wonderful, speaking of golf, a great book. On golf in Minnesota.
It's called From Fields to Fairways, and it's the backstory of how all the classic golf courses up through Hazeltine were conceived of and built.
It's a beautiful book. I love the cover photograph. Looks like it's from the 30s, maybe, 20s,
yeah, 30s. It's the 1930 U.S. Open at Interlochen with Bobby Jones.
Bobby Jones. It's a great shot. Worth the price alone, just for the dust cover. It's beautiful. It's a great
first
book.
Time I laid eyes on that picture, I said, that's the cover.
That's it, right. Well, okay, Rick's going to ride with us for another few minutes. Happy to have him on board. Here, boy, what a great guy and great friend of KLBB on the show. Weather, hi, Bobby. Huh? Weather, what do you see outside your weather window there now, sir? Don't give me anything about snow, please. I don't want to hear it.
Just the clouds. It's not seeing any precipitation, so we're good.
The National Weather Service still is saying we could pick up maybe a half inch or less of snow by this evening. I'm not buying it. I don't want to see it, and I'm not going to shovel it. How do you like that, huh? I'm in denial. That's true. High near 41. We're just about there. We're all but there. Tonight, rain and snow possibly, a very light stuff overnight low. Chilly, 26 degrees. 26 degrees. Tomorrow, the temperatures are going to fall during the morning. We'll be down to about 25.
Whoa.
Yeah, ish. There's a good old Minnesota expression, ish, by noon, by 10 a.m., actually. So that'll be the highest we get out of the day tomorrow, day before Easter, 25. Blustery winds kicking up to 40 miles per hour at times. Whoa. Boy, those high-profile vehicles. You can almost, if you use your imagination, you can hear the wind right now. Rick, be careful out there, huh?
Yeah. My teeth are chattering.
Don't stand too tall tomorrow. I might blow you right over. So that's Saturday, and the teeth are chattering. Sunday, Easter Sunday. You want to know about that? Good tidings here. Sunny skies. Not great temperatures, but not bad either. High 35. Thanks, kids. They even preempted me with their cheer. 35 degrees for a high Easter Sunday and sunny skies. Monday, maybe some drizzle, a couple flurries here and there. A high of 39, make it 40 on Monday. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the mid-30s. So, okay. The early part of April, I guess not too bad.
How's a guy supposed to play golf with weather like
a guy is supposed to get on a Greyhound bus and go to Florida. That's
what
you're
supposed to
do. You might have to do that, okay? Don't forget your clubs, too, okay?
Okay.
Right. It's 12:41 right now. Bobby J., what do we have in the queue here?
We have a request from Jeannie, I believe, in Shoreview.
Oh, I think I know. Pet Clark, maybe?
Yes.
Jeannie, here's your song. Let's go. Well, Pet Clark will tell us where.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go downtown.
The wait is over. Stan's back, and he's taking your requests and dedications. It's the Wolf Brewing Company All Request and Dedication Show on Club 1220 KLBB.
I'm back, I'm front, I'm sideways, I'm all angles, all 360 degrees of me, and this is the best job I've ever had. It is. I had the great good luck to be at Channel 5 for a long time, and I think we just by luck hit the high water mark over there when there were a lot of viewers. Rick Shefchek before the cables came in and the satellites and all the rest, and it was basically a contest for news viewership between Channel 4 and 5. Then 11 came in, and once who bought them? Who was the big...
Gannett bought them,
yeah. and then they became a player, too, a big one. So, but back in the day, Rick, when that red light went on the camera, you knew you were talking to a lot of people, and you better have your stuff right, you know, and it was very humbling. You had to, you knew you better deliver a good product to them. So I was lucky, sheer luck, to have caught that wave. And we had a camera crew here today from Channel 5 this afternoon, and the connective tissue is still there because some of the, in fact, the photographer who was there with the reporter today, Catherine Johnson, he knows a lot of the photographers I worked with, and a couple of them are still there. So it's amazing. Yeah, it goes on.
Yeah, it's been a just a tremendous legacy of broadcasting in this city. I mean, for the size market that we have, I mean, how many Emmys have come out of here?
Just,
you know,
tons of them.
The level of broadcast journalism has just been astonishing.
It's really, we can be proud of it. Same goes for print too. Lots of Pulitzer Prizes, yep, and all those too. And you've been in the front ranks of writing some great copy too. So, Rick, we're trying to match the mood, and we're trying to make it an upbeat mood here on this valedictory edition of the All Request and Dedication program. You came up with an idea just a bit ago, and we want to play this by the Supremes, Diana Ross. This is from about 1969. Tell us about the story, and it's rather fitting for today. I like it.
Yeah, I believe at the time that this was recorded, Diana Ross had already announced that she was leaving. She was going to start a solo career after racking up more number one hits than any American group had ever, of any category.
Right.
But clearly she was the talent, and I think she probably was, if she was not married to Berry Gordy at that point, they certainly had,
they had a very close relationship, if you know what I mean.
So he was grooming her for solo
stardom.
He was
the big guy at Motown.
Yes, he owned
and
founded
label.
Motown.
Yeah, right.
So Diana was about to take off for solo stardom, but this song was written as a very fitting kind of farewell between Diana, who was going off to better things, and the Supremes, who were being left in the dust.
They were. Was it Florence Ballard, Mary Wilson? They were just,
yes,
left behind.
Mm-hmm.
It was never a real friendly relationship, because you could see Diana was the out front person.
Sure.
And that had to hurt. The other ladies were very fine singers. They came out of the projects just like she did in,
yep,
Detroit. So these are gals who came up by sheer dint of their own talent. They were very talented, so it's always hard to watch the out front person get all the glory and the money.
Yeah. And yet, given that backstory, I mean, you can hear real sentiment in this record.
We're going to hear it right here. The record is a number one record, and Rick, the name of it?
Someday We'll Be Together.
Here it is. I like this song. Let's take that as our mantra, okay? Someday, mm-hmm, we'll be together again. That is a marvelous, marvelous sentiment, a marvelous recording. Rick Shefchik, Diana Ross was 100 feet deep into that song. She loved it. You could tell it.
Oh, she was just sailing. And if you were the person she was saying goodbye to in that song, you'd be thinking, well, it wasn't my idea.
Mr. Gordy?
Yes.
Oh, marvelous. And perfect for the occasion. Thanks for that request. Rick Shefchik came up with that one. That's a must play today, isn't it? Absolutely. And we did it. Thank you. Folks, continue calling in, please, with your song requests, your dedications, your comments. We love it all. We love you all. 651-275-1220. That's the number to get your music on the radio. 651-275-1220. You might want to pick Twitter, Facebook, or email request at klbbradio.com. Back in a minute.
It's Stan Turner.
You are going to make me scream like a white lady.
Weekdays, noon to 2 on KLBB.
Sing a song, tell a story. It's the Wolf Brewing Company All Request and Dedication Show with Stan Turner. Call 651-275-1220.
Ah, we love you all. You know we do. It's 2:55 right now. Our friends across the border. You know, with this show, Bobby, there is no border between
That's
Minnesota
right.
and
mm-hmm.
Wisconsin. We're all family here, even in football season. And during that particular season, the fans over the Green Bay Packers, and this station has carried the Packers over the years, too. So big listening audience, a lot of Vikings fans, wink, wink, listened in, too, to the Packers, too. And they, the Packers have a certain pep song, don't
mm-hmm.
they?
They do.
Lambeau Field, I think, when a touchdown is scored.
Right.
They bring in a song made famous by Mr. Todd Rundgren. And boy, Bobby, do we have the drum ready to go here?
Oh, we do.
Let's
we
beat the heck out of it. I'll bet you didn't get much work done during that little number there, huh? Todd Rundgren banging on the drum all day. Boy, sounds like a good way to spend the work day to me, huh?
Oh,
boy,
yeah.
Oh, boy.
Friday.
Green Bay Packers. We'll send that one out to you Packers fans. That's a beauty. We'll be back, yeah, with hour number. What will it be, Bobby? What hour?
It'll be hour four.
Hour four. Yeah. Coming up. Stay with us, folks. We love you. KLBB Radio, Stillwater, Minneapolis, and St. Paul. And from all of us to all of you.
Thanks for the memory.
Fox News Radio, I'm Rich Dennison.